Utpatti of creation, sthiti maintenance, laya and dissolution, etava the original causes, asya of this material world, kalpa capable of acting, sattva adya headed by the sattva guna, prakriti guna, the modes of material nature, yat, of whom, ikshaya, by the glance, asan, became, yat rupam, the form of whom, dhruvam, unlimited, akritam, uncreated, yat, who, ekam, one, atman, in himself, nana, variously, adhat, as manifest, katam, how, uha, certainly, veda, can understand, tasya, his, vartma, path. Translation. By his glance, the Supreme Personality of Godhead enables the modes of material nature to act as the causes of universal creation, maintenance, and destruction. The Supreme Soul is unlimited and beginningless. And although he is one, he has manifested himself in many forms. How can human society understand the ways of the Supreme? Purport. From Vedic literature, we learn that when the Supreme Lord glances, sa-aikshata, over the material energy, the three modes of material nature become manifest and create material variety. Before he glances over the material energy, there is no possibility of the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the world. The Lord existed before the creation, and consequently, he is eternal and unchanged. Therefore, how can any human being, however great a scientist or philosopher he may be, understand the ways of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The following quotations from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adi Kanda, 148 through 52 and 148 through 69, tell the glories of Lord Ananta. Ki Brahma ki Shiva ki Sanakadi Kumar Vyasa Shuka Naradadi Bhakta Nama Jhar. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, Sanaka, Sanatan, Sananda and Sanat Kumar, Vyasadeva, Sukadeva Goswami, and Narada are all pure devotees, eternal servants of the Lord. Shabhara Pujita Shri Ananta Mahashai Sahasra Varana Prabhu Bhakti Rasamai. Lord Sri Ananta is worshipped by all the uncontaminated devotees mentioned above. He has thousands of hoods, and is the reservoir of all devotional service. Adideva Mahayogi Ishvara Vaishnav Mahimara Anta Iha Na Janaye Shava. Lord Ananta is the original person and the great mystic controller. At the same time, he is a servant of God, a Vaishnava. Since there is no end to his glories, no one can fully understand him. Sevana Shunila Ebe Shuna Takurala Atmatare Jena Mate Vaishena Patala. I have already spoken to you of his service to the Lord. Now hear the self-sufficient Ananta, how the self-sufficient Anantadeva exists in the lower planetary system of Patala. Sri Narada Gosai Tumburu Kari Sange Se Yasha Gayena Brahma Stani Shloka Vande. Bearing his stringed instrument, the Tumburu, on his shoulder, the great sage Nard Muni always glorifies Lord Ananta. Nard Muni has composed many transcendental verses in praise of the Lord. Shri Shri Shriti Pralaya Satvari Yataguna Jara Drishti Patehaya Jaya Puna Puna. Simply due to the glance of Lord Ananta, the three material modes of nature interact and produce creation, maintenance, and annihilation. These modes of nature appear again and again. Advitiya Rupa Satya Anadi Mahatva Tatapi Ananta Hoy Ke Bhuje Se Tatva. The Lord is glorified as one without a second, and as the Supreme Truth who has no beginning. Therefore, he's called Anantadev, unlimited. Who can understand him? Shuddha Sattva Murti Prabhu Dharena Karunai Ye Jai Vigrahe Shabhar Prakasha Shulilai. His form is completely spiritual, and he manifests it only by his mercy. All the activities in this material world are connected only in his form. Jara Taranga Siki Simha Mahavali Nija Jana Mano Rank Ranje Hai Kuta Hali. He is very powerful and always prepared to please his personal associates and devotees. Jayananta Namer Shravan Sankirtane Yete Mate Kene Nahi Bole Jete Jane Ashesha Janmera Bandha Chinde Se Kshane Ata Eva Vaishnava Na Chadi Kabu Tane. If we simply try to engage in the congregational chanting of the glories of Lord Anantadeva, the dirty things in our hearts accumulated during many births will immediately be washed away. Therefore, a Vaishnava never loses an opportunity to glorify Anantadeva. Shesha Bai Samsarera Gati Nahi Ara Anantara Name Sarva Jivera Udhar. Lord Anantadeva is known as Sesha, the unlimited end, because he ends our passage through the material world. Simply by chanting his glories, everyone can be liberated. Ananta Prithivi Giri Samudra Sahite Jai Prabhu Dharena Giri Palana Karite. On his head, Anantadeva sustains the entire universe, with its millions of planets containing enormous oceans and mountains. Sahasra Fanara Eka Fane Bindu Jena Ananta Vikrama Na Janena Ache Hena. He is so large and powerful that this universe rests on one of his hoods, just like a drop of water. He does not know where it is. Sahasra Varane Krishna Yasha Nirantar Gaite Achena Adhi Deva Mahidhar. While bearing the universe on one of his hoods, Anantadeva chants the glories of Krishna with each of his thousands of mouths. Gayena Ananta Shri Yashera Nahi Anta Jaya Banga Nahi Karu Dohe Balavanta. Although he has been chanting the glories of Lord Krishna since time immemorial, he has still not come to their end. Adyapihe Sesha Deva Sahasra Shri Mukhe Gayena Chaitanya Yasha Anta Nahi Deke. To this very day, Lord Ananta continues to chant the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and still he finds no end to them. So, Krishna's interest is interacting with his devotees based on pure devotion. So then, making these arrangements so all this can happen, then this is what Lord Anantadeva does. Anantadeva arranges that all these creations are taking place, all these adjustments, varieties of the energies, all these elements are transforming and doing wonderful things for Krishna. As is mentioned, is that even though he's the Supreme Lord, he's at the same time, he's a devotee. So he's a devotee of Krishna. He's always chanting the glories of Krishna. So he's doing these activities. What's of interest to him is Krishna. So that's the prominent element, is that he is the Lord, but he's a devotee at the same time. So the glories of the Lord, that's the most important thing. As this mentioned, he's doing his work. He's so good at it that a universe is sitting on top of his head. But for him, it's so minor. The weight of that, he doesn't even know where it is on his head. Right? We stick a stack of bricks on your head, you know right exactly where they are. But here he's holding up a whole unit, he doesn't even know where it is. It's so minor for him. Because the engagement of his energy, his potencies in the Lord's service, then this is what makes him happy. So by his grace, since he's the one that is creating all these things, the whole material manifestation, so then it's natural that he's the one who's by blessing the material phenomena for us, means our conception of it is also removed. Right? It's natural. The person who makes something can also make the adjustments with that. Right? So Anantadeva is the one who does this. Right? So we're here by his arrangement. We can get out of here by his arrangement. Right? And how is he pleased? Right? By worshipping Krishna. Because that's what he does. He's a devotee of Krishna. You serve Krishna, he's very happy. So then, he enters the heart, removes all the impure things within the heart, and then one is able to worship the Lord very nicely. So these are all these aspects that are very, as it says, it's being unlimited. Who can understand him? It says that many times here. Because he's doing all these things. You know, he's the Supreme Lord and he's a devotee. He's creating everything, but he's not involved. But if you are surrendered, appreciating his position, appreciating Krishna's position, then he'll remove all that. So, all these, seeming contradictory elements in the running of things, then he takes care of all that. Because it's a quality of the Lord, this having the contradictory elements. Because if you have something that's the source of everything, and since individual items within everything are different than each other, then all those contradictions between themselves are resolved by their origin in the Supreme. Right? Because they come from Him. That's their common ground. Right? Because if you want to categorize something, what do? With your intelligence, see what is common. Or if the outstanding thing, what's different. right? You know, there's two people in the room, so the common thing is they're different from the floor. Okay, you could do that, you know. Or you could use what's common, that they both have, you know, human forms. Yeah, they both have hands or something. Does this make sense? So you find something that makes them common. So that's why if Krishna's in the center, everything becomes common. There is no problem in working with anything in any situation. That's why it says the devotees are never bewildered. Because seeing everything in relationship to Krishna means that everything has common purpose to be engaged in the Lord's service. So when Anantadev sees that this is how one is approaching the Lord's energy, then he becomes very pleased. And then the attachment or the distraction created by being absorbed in the material energy, he removes. Because he's the one who put it there in the first place. We want to enjoy the Lord's energy separately, but where are you going to do that? So he creates the material world so we can do that. Right? But the purpose of it is that we may give up this mentality. That's how we actually get his blessing. We give up the mentality that I'm the controller and enjoyer, and then getting his blessings there, then he removes. He removes all the contaminant, the modes of passion and ignorance, since he's the controller of these modes. Then we can take up pure devotional service. That's the principle. Here, this is in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Narottam Das Thakur mentions the same thing. By getting the grace of Nityananda Prabhu, then one can cross over that the material ocean. Right? One can say, no, Krishna does that. Yes, Krishna does do that. As Ananta, as Balaram. Like that. He expands his Balaram to take care of these things. Because this is technically what we call the Kriya Shakti. Means the shakti of activity. So that's the difficulty. Our activities can either be spiritual, connected to Krishna, or material, not connected to Krishna. So if we are trying to connect our activities to Krishna, then Ananta, being the Lord of the Kriya Shakti, Sankarsana, then he's pleased. Then he removes the dirt. That is the distraction between seeing things connected to Krishna or not. Does this make sense? Right? We're doing things. So now we Sankarsana is in charge of the mechanics of how things get done. You do them to please Krishna, he removes the material illusion. You do it to please yourself, then you get more illusion. It's simple. Right? It's like we said, he makes the creation, you want to get out of it, then he's the man. So he controls the modes of nature, he controls the position of activity. So your actions are connected to Krishna. Then he's pleased, and then the material tendency is removed. So then all activities are connected to the Lord. But without his blessings, then we'll continue on performing activities not connected to the Lord. It's simple. Right? So he's a devotee. He wants to see everybody connected to Krishna. He's connected to Krishna. Therefore, if we please him in this way, then our life becomes perfect. We develop this affection for Krishna. Is there any questions on this? Yes. That little microphone. Take it to the back.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So you were saying that we have to get the blessings of Anantadev to allow our activities to become spiritual activities. And you were saying to get the blessings of Anantadev, we have to try and connect our work with Krishna. I try and connect all activities with Krishna. So is that a mental thing? Is that a heart thing? How is it that we connect our activities with Krishna?
Connection means body, mind, and words. Because it's one thing if I say one thing but do another. So it should be I'm doing what I'm saying. But there should be also the feeling that that's what I want to be doing. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's all three. So in the beginning, we don't necessarily connect all three. Right? We're not necessarily even conscious of all of them. Right? So whatever we are conscious of, or whatever we do feel that that's what we have an area of influence, that's what we first connect. And then as we do that, we get purified, then we become aware of the other areas. Then naturally with time, everything gets connected to the Lord. Right? In the beginning, it's okay, here's rules. You know, the heart's not into it. Or some people, it's about the heart. They don't catch the rules. Or some people, it's more, mental or intellectual, and they don't physically. Some people, it's physical, not it. You know what I'm saying? So all classes of conditioning can be engaged, because everybody has a body, everyone has mind, and everyone has the, intelligence and the senses. So wherever is your value, that's where you start. And then the rest will come. Right? It's like the Marwari saying, first take the little finger, then take the whole hand. Right? So you catch someplace first. It doesn't matter where. Like Prabhupada says, sugar is sweet. Doesn't matter which side you start on, it's going to be good. Does that make sense? So that's the completeness and the independence of devotional service. It's not dependent on karma or jnana or yoga. It's perfect on its own. It makes karma, jnana, and yoga perfect. Does that make sense? So our sadhana will improve the more we do it. Then we become more expert at seeing that the body, mind, and words are always connected. Does that work?
So just to clarify, it's however you can connect your activities with Krishna, however you can fully engage a certain sense or activity, then yes. You do that and then the others will come.
Yes. Okay. It's like, that principle Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions about beg, borrow, or steal the nectar of the holy name. It doesn't matter how you get it. It's just you should be connected. Does that make sense?
Jaya, thank you, Maharaj.
Yes. Okay, then. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you for giving class. I was just wondering about one of these verses that you read in the purport, where it says, if we simply try to engage in a congregational chanting of the glories of Lord and not today, the dirty things accumulated in our hearts, accumulated during many births, will immediately be washed away. So the word try and the word immediately, both those words stuck out to me because usually I've heard that, if one engages in chanting, maybe Shudanam, chanting the pure name, then they will immediately wash all the dirty things from the heart. But here the word they used is try. So it seems like it's saying that as soon as you even attempt to try glorifying Krishna, Sankirtan, immediately you'll be past like an artana vritti. But that doesn't seem to be the case. So I was wondering if you could help me understand this.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So underlying means you're comfortable with getting an answer, right?
Oh.
Or you want me to be nice?
No, I want a real answer.
Okay. So, why would we have a problem that chanting the holy name immediately removes all the dirt in the heart? You understand? Why do we have to say, no, that's only if it's pure Shuddhanam, then you get that benefit? Why do we make this distinction? Because are we saying this, is it like this? Do we say it like this? Yes, when you just chant one holy name, it destroys all the sins of the universe. And so someone says, yes, that's true, but that's only if it's Shuddhanam. Or is it stated like this? Chanting one holy name of the Lord then removes all the sin of the universe. No, but that's only if it's Shuddhanam. Which of the two is the statement? First one or the second one? You catch the difference?
You're saying one is in relation to the universe, and so one is in relation to one's...
No, I said the same thing. Did anybody catch that? Okay. The difference is in the emotion. One is just, no, it's a fact. Yeah, it means, yeah, the place gives out free food, but only on Sunday. You understand? Yeah. The other one is, no, it only gives out free food only on Sunday. It means you go the other days, you're not going to get free food. You know? You understand the difference? So why would there be this emotion in the background? Because, this is a simple point. This is the point I was asking in the beginning about. Is the reason is we actually think liberation has some value and it's important and it's a goal and it's hard to obtain. That's why we say, no, only if it's Shudanam. I mean, you're not getting it because you're not chanting Shudanam. I value this, I'm not getting it, and you're definitely not getting it because I'm better than you, of course. So, hey. You understand? Or the motivating, oh, none of us can get it, we're also usually, you know, whatever, you pick whichever emotional state you want to use. Because the point is, Shudanam will give you prema. Liberation is a side thing. It's like this. If you go to the big kitchen for lunch, you go to anybody's house for lunch, do you get a plate along with the meal? Yes or no? You don't get a plate with the meal. Wow, where are you eating, okay? Even the dogs get plates, you know? That's all they got is plates, right? You know? Are you using the brain here? Got to turn on, yes. Make connections, yes. Here, thank right? You. Okay, so that means the reason that we're saying this is because we value karma, we value gyan. We think they're important. We fight over them. Our prestige, our position is based on them. Right? Does that make sense? That's the whole point. Therefore, how can one name give unlimitedly more than anybody has ever seen in the universe? How is that one name? I mean, look at the profit margin. I put in one name, get back unlimited results. And in the material world, people work very hard. It means you have to do 100 perfect lifetimes of Varnashram, no mistakes, you can become Lord Brahma. And this is one name, and we're going to remove the whole material covering? So from the side of gyan, we say not possible, because we're attached to it. But if we're attached to bhakti, it's that, of course, because the material world, it's an illusion anyway. What does it take to get rid of an illusion? You know what I'm saying? It's nothing. It's not there. So does that make sense? So, therefore, the big deal's not getting rid of all the sin of the universe. Even you get rid of all the sin of the universe, then what? Now what do you do? Mr. Clean is sitting around doing what? Right? You know what I'm saying? Pots get old after a while, you know? How many pots can you wash? Right? So therefore, it's prema. That's the real goal. Getting rid of the dirt's not the main thing. Does that make sense? So that's why you get these seemingly contradictory statements. Because the devotees really couldn't care less about liberation. It comes automatically. You know, it's just like you get the meal, you get the plate along with it. They'll even give you a place to sit down. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to worry about those things. You know, it's like I say, you please come to my house for lunch today, and then you ask, will I get a plate? Yeah, you get a plate. You sure? You're big enough, right? You know, plate. You understand what plate, I'm talking about my plate, yeah, right? Do you have to ask that? No. So the devotees don't ask about liberation. It happens anyway. You understand where this is coming from? Like that. So when you see sometimes this emotional content is there, you'll notice that it's taking a secondary symptom and making it primary. But it's just something that happens on the side with pure devotion. Right? Does that make sense? So those are only symptoms. Those aren't the real thing. The real thing is prema. That's why it opens with that. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, Sanaka, Sanatana, Sananda, and Sanat Kumar, Vyasadeva, Sukadeva, and Narada are all pure devotees, eternal service to the Lord. It starts there. Pure devotees is the real thing. Getting rid of sin is just something that happens on the side. You perform your service sincerely, then automatically it goes away. You try, it goes away. Because we're not the one making it go away. That's the other part, is we think I'm the doer. No, how can he be saying, how is he making the whole universe sin go away? He's not. The Lord is. Does that make sense? Yeah, so we always have to see that the focus is on the primary, which is prema and pure devotion. Secondary, you have all these nice symptoms. You live in the spiritual world, you have a spiritual body, you have particular activities. These are secondary. Right? What makes Braja Bhakti?
Prema.
Prema? What kind of prema? That means if you're in the whole spiritual world, it's all prema.
Golok Prem. Golok Prem?
Golok Prem, that includes Dwarka and Mathura. You understand?
Prema of the Vrajvasis.
Prema?
Prema of the Vrajvasis.
Well, that's why I just asked what you call it. Okay. Have you heard the term pure, unalloyed devotional service, right? You have pure devotion.
Yeah.
So the Braja Bhakti is unique in that it's pure, unalloyed. It means there's no other elements of one's own spiritual interest, right? In Vaikuntha, they have the same bodily form, same being on the same planet, same, wealth, being an associate of the Lord, right? So, now one could say, no, but in Braj they have that. They look similar. The cowherd boys and Krishna look similar. You know, the same kind of nature and features. Otherwise, you know, how do they hang out together? Right? That, you know, they're on the same planet. Hard to hang out if you're not on the same planet. They're associates like that. Does that make sense? So, one could say, what's the difference? In Vaikuntha, that's important. But what is having the same bodily form, wealth, you know, all these things? They're situations. So it's, I got to have this situation, you know, and through that situation express my prema. But because it's connected to Krishna, it's perfect. Does that make sense? It's not a fault, it's perfect. But then there's more perfect than that, most perfect. Right? It's about that, but it's about the person. So in Braj, it's not about being on the same planet, it's about loving Krishna. And somehow or another, by the arrangement of the Kriya Shakti, it's really helpful if you're kind of on the same planet to interact. But even if they're not, it still works. Because if you think of Krishna, him being absolute, you're there with him. So Braja Bhakti is a generic element that all the residents of Vrindavan have. Does that make sense? Because that's the first thing to catch. Second thing to look at is, of Braja Bhakti, then which kind? What sentiment? Right? Because then you have the servants, the friends, the parents, and the gopis, the young gopis. That's a detail. That's a secondary aspect. That's how the particular kind of love that's being expressed. And then each one has their facilities for doing that. Right? But on the transcendental platform, you don't have to make this distinction. Mother Yashoda, her service, her house, her facility, that's all considered one thing. In the material world, we have to make the distinction. Otherwise, we, like this, take that the secondary element is the primary. Only if it's Shudanam, then, you know, if I have Shudanam, then I get the results. No, Shudanam is independent. We don't, it's not about us having. It's about getting the blessings. Us having means, how do we have? Just that I can chant or I'm in a position. These are all, you understand, secondary. The sense of possession has to be primary. That's the difference between these realms. that it's nice being an associate of the Lord. Being with the Lord, that's nice. The residents of Vrindavan aren't thinking being with the Lord is nice. They're thinking the Lord is nice. You understand? Because being with the Lord is the situation. The Lord, then that's the person. You understand? Being with the Lord, who's that? That's Paramatma. The Lord, that's Bhagavan. That's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why you see that basically every time they can put it in, the Acharyas use the term the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because there's a difference between that mood and that of God. You understand? They're pointing out this difference. Is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead happens to be God. But it's because of Him, the person, that the Brajabasis like Him. They have their affection. It's not because He's God. But you add in the element of His God, that's partly there in Dwarka, but fully there in Vaikuntha. So it's a different thing. That's situational. Vasudev, the platform of Vasudev is situational. Like you say, He's on the spiritual platform. That's the situation. You know, you're not in the material world. You're on the platform of Vasudev Sattva. But what are you going to do in that platform of Vasudev Sattva? Then you have to worship the Lord. And then how are you doing that? Because He's God or because he's nice? You understand? These are subtle points. So that's why these things to us aren't big deals. Right? That's the whole pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita with Haridas Thakur and what is this? Gopal Chapala. Right? Big scholar, big Brahmin. And he says that just by one chanting, because Haridas Thakur very specifically says Nama Bas. Just in case, well, you know, it's not sure, so therefore we're taking it as Shuddha Nam. No. Haridas Thakur very specifically, boldly states, Nama Bas will get you liberation. Shuddha Nam, that will get you prema. So we're not interested in getting out of the material world. We're interested in developing love for Krishna. Because if we develop love for Krishna and always see Krishna everywhere, we're always with Krishna. Because Krishna is not limited by time and space. Does that make sense?
So, if contamination is still remaining in the mind, and right, it's seeming like it's an impediment to meditating on Krishna and His names so that he can develop pure love of Krishna, why is that? When it says in this verse specifically that just by trying to chant that one will be washed of all dirty things.
Okay. Have you ever seen an elephant?
An elephant?
Yes.
Yes.
Have you ever seen what elephants like to do when they're sitting around?
I don't think so.
No. Oh well, you can always spend some time down there. But they take their trunk, pick up a bunch of, especially dust. Dust is the most perfect. But otherwise, anything that's loose, and pick it up and throw it on their back. Right? So they always cover themselves in dust. But they love baths. You take them down to the river, it's hard to get them out of the river. Right? The biggest problem in taking an elephant down to a river or a tank is that they won't come out. Right? But it's the second they come out, they cover themselves with dirt. So does that make sense? Okay. So this is the point. Anybody who's taken up devotional service is liberated. There's no devotee in the movement who is sincerely chanting because there's an idea of developing love for Krishna that they're not liberated. But due to habit from being in the material world for so long, they don't think like that. So therefore, they continue to act in a conditioned state. Right? Because it comes from desire. Then you get the dirt. Right? You know what I'm saying? So the dirt's gone, but you still have that feelings, that desire, that identity. So the guy across the street, you know, the punk guy, when the Harinam goes by, that's yelling out, "Hey, Hare Krishna," you know, and he's just goofing, laughing with his friends, he's liberated. But he still identifies as the punk guy across the street, so he continues acting like that. That's why the example is given that you're asleep and having a nightmare. Someone wakes you up, you still see the nightmare. Why? Because you're thinking about it. That's more important to you than the reality of what's in front of you. That's why we're talking about change the consciousness. Clearing the heart, it's only mentioned because we look at it from this point, is that I do good, I get good results. I do bad, I get bad results. Right? Now, what defines good? Right? In the Vedas, good is defined as those things which are sacrifice. Right? Austerity, penance, sacrifice, charity. Because why? Because then you're doing something selflessly for someone else. Even within the material world, philanthropy and altruism are greatly glorified because you're doing something for someone else. There's some sacrifice on your part of your own time or money, and others are getting benefits. So it's seen as a glorious thing. Right? But now what defines that in the Vedas, because that's what's given by Krishna, that's actual, real sacrifice. Other things may or may not be real sacrifice. You know what I'm saying? You know, you have two lines, you give one to your friend, that's not necessarily a great sacrifice. You know, in his community, yeah, it's considered pretty good, but amongst others, they might think that both of them have a problem, right? Does that make sense? No, that's good. That's good. If you don't understand what I just said, that's good. Okay. So, right? Sorry. Okay, so that's why people get benefits. So there's this idea that if I do good, I get benefit. But the point is why there's benefit from good, that's not considered. So we're only looking at this doing or not doing as piety, as ritual. Oh, you're not chanting Shuddhanam as if it's a ritual. And no, if you chant Shuddhanam, then you'll get it. But why would it work like that? You know what I'm saying? You have to understand this, that it's the Lord's mercy that's there. It's not because I did it, I deserve it. That's Jaimini. That's Karma Mimamsa. You understand? So because we're contaminated by these mundane positions, just from being here for so long, we think like that. But as long as we're connecting it to the Lord, we get benefit. So even someone's not actually understanding on the topmost platform, they are getting benefit because they are connecting it to the Lord. And from doing that, you get purified, and then after a while you start to see, no, it's more. That's true. Right? You know, so the real benefit, because we're thinking the real benefit's liberation, the real benefit is prema. So we're saying, yes, the real benefit's not by namabhas, it's by shuddhanam. Right? But that real benefit's not the liberation. That's just like a side thing. You know, you buy this big thing and they give you some little gift on the side. You know, it's just like... Does that make sense? Is that okay? I don't have any time. Okay. Something else, or... Yes.
We hear extensively about the glories of Ananda Devana, his mercy, and then we hear about the mercy of Srimati Radharani, the mercy of the Vaishnavas, the mercy of Guru. I mean, what do we do?
How do we put it all together?
Yeah, we take it as it comes, as we meet it, or we...
Yeah, both. Both is that whatever is available, that's what you're interacting with. Because the point is you want to interact and please Krishna. And so Krishna means his name, his form, qualities, pastimes, dham, associates, paraphernalia, everything. That's all his, you know, manifesting from his Ichha Shakti. Right? That's the whole thing. So we're trying to please his will, not our will. That's why there's a whole big thing about what we want to do and what he wants to do. Right? It means as far as goal goes. Right? So whatever aspect of Krishna we're in touch with, that's then what we interact with. That's one aspect. Another aspect is Anantadev, Sankarshan, Balaram, Nityananda, they're all the same person. It's just different aspects of that personality. Like, is that, because generally when you, like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when it gives verses about Balaram, it mentions all these different aspects in one verse. Like that. So, it's he takes care of this aspect from this part, or that aspect from that part. But the, so for us, it basically means Lord Nityananda. Right? So by his grace, then you cross over the material nature, means now you're not interested in what's here. Then you can take up worship of Radha and Krishna, because worship of Radha and Krishna means there can't be anything from here. Even if you're taking what's here and connecting it to them, then it's not the full rasa that you can taste. You know, it's more situational. The situation is there, the endeavor is there. But when it's about the person, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say, you go to the market to buy something, let's say, because there's, you know, there's, it's a social obligation to get something. Right? They gave you something you have to give back, or let's say like in the things like weddings, and then you have to keep, you know, a record, and then they gave this, so you have to get something when you go to there. You do it nicely. But it's not so much about the person as the obligation. And then you have a good friend, you just want to get them something nice, so you think, what will they like? And then you look around, and it's not about the situations of the buying, it's about them and something for them. And it's that, this is the difference that we're talking about. These subtleties between the Braja Bhakti and the other bhaktis. That you don't have this. You know, there isn't the thing of what is supposed to be done or how. It's just a matter of just pleasing. But because it's about Krishna, it follows everything perfectly. So the devotees of Braja, they actually follow everything perfectly. Like that. One may say, well, they're not doing so many things, but those things that they're doing, those are the ones that please Krishna. That's the actual purpose. Everything else is there just because, it's just like this. The kid's supposed to eat, right? You normally put some food and they pick it up, put it in their mouth. No, you got to put it in your mouth, right? Not only you got to put it in their mouth, and they're hungry, as they move their head when you put it in their mouth, right? And so then someone else has to stand there and, you know, sing or dance or do something like that. So this whole show is going on for this kid to eat. So now, is that necessary? Do you need it for an adult? No. So that's the thing, is all that's there in the Vedic culture. Everything to keep every aspect busy, because that's how we're distracted. But as it goes, it just gets down to the essential point. It's just that interaction with Krishna and the devotees based on love. And then the means of expression that the Brajbasis use, that's the highest form, or the original form, you could say, of Varnashram. And then formalizing that, you see it in Dwarka. And then adding all kinds of extra stuff for, you know, around here, because we're really distracted. So then we get, it becomes bigger. But otherwise, the Braja Vaishnava culture is the real Varnashram. That is the real. Everybody, according to their nature, you know, is worshiping Krishna. Right? So, therefore, as you come along, plus at the same time, like you said, the spiritual master represents Nityananda, who represents Radharani. So you have both those aspects. So, when you deal with Radharani, that means that aspect of the Icha Shakti, that pleasing Krishna, right? And then Shankarshan means the Kriya Shakti, which is the aspect of what is done, how it's done, you know, that it's technically done properly, it's got the right attitude, you know, the mechanics of it. And so, by the grace of the spiritual master, then you can do the right things with the right attitude, and then from the other side, to actually please Krishna in with affection. So technically it's all one thing, but it has the variety. Is that okay? Yes, okay. Okay, last point, yes.
Okay.
Surrender. Well, surrender, you have, basically, you have six parts of surrender, but they're in three groups. You have what's to be done and not done, seeing Krishna as your protector and maintainer, and having the proper attitude as his servant and being meek and humble. So we see that these deal with these different aspects of the Lord. Again, because as it's mentioned, I think Vidura is, no, is it? Yeah, Uddhava? I think Uddhava is, either Uddhava or Vidura is mentioning about Krishna is the Lord of threes. Right? So you always have this aspect of three. You know, Samvat, Sandini, Ladini. You know, or like, so, you know, internal, external, marginal. All these, always like this. So this aspect of that your situation has to be proper. Right? The general attitude has to be proper. And then how you see the relationship with the Lord has to be proper. So all of these has to be, so each one of them. So the general thing is because we see from the external, so the general process starts by, I start with giving up and accepting those things that are favorable and, you know, like this. Next is then I have that dependency upon the Lord. Right? But then there's that full element of surrender, that it's just as Krishna likes. It's just, I'm his and he takes care. Right? So that will naturally be the progression. You know, it's like the neophyte functions, focuses on the first two, the Madhyama on the next two, the Uttama on the last two. Though everybody's using all six of them at once. But at the same time, the Acharyas point out is it actually starts with the last two, because there must be some sense that I actually want to please the Lord. I actually do identify as servant of the Lord. Then if I act as servant of the Lord and I'm humble, then I can accept what's favorable and reject what's unfavorable. Right? And then, so it has to start from there. Then you go through mechanically the three stages until you get to the final. Now when you come to that, now it's based on prema. Well, the first is just, there's that shraddha. Right? So shraddha will start with those last two. And then prema will end with those last two. So then it's a very nice, very important process. Okay, yes.
These Leela avatars, you see Krishna Balaram, you see Ram Lakshman, you see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. So when Krishna, or there's an avatar of Krishna like Matsya or like Korma or like Varaha, is Balaram there somehow or other in some form or way or another? Or it seems like only in these Leela avatars do you see Balaram overtly manifested. So I'm wondering, when the Lord appears in other avatars where you don't see a direct manifestation of this Ananta Shesh Tattva, is Balaram there somehow or other?
Yes, because see, is that when you're dealing with the Vishnu avatars, the Svamsa, which means they're only manifesting a portion of the potency of the Lord. It means they're unlimited, but they're only manifesting certain aspects. So the Svamsa aspects is then they'll have the mood of, means if they're Leela, then it's Vasudev. But Vasudev includes the elements of Shankar, Shankar, Jumna, Nadi, Ruda. Because to perform an activity, you have to have the proper knowledge, the proper interest, and the proper will or desire. I mean, actually, not will, desire. goal. Does that make sense? So, but it's a matter of each one may have a different aspect they're bringing out. So that's why when you see then the 24 Vishnu Murtis, that you have the four main divisions of Shankar, Shankar, Jumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudeva, and then each one of them has their subdivisions, so then you end up with 24. So it's just slight flavor difference, right? Because here we see when they're describing the glories of Ananta, then you have the element that the aspects of Krishna creating and controlling the cosmos, that Ananta is doing. Like that. And Krishna is, you know, just interacting with the devotee. So Balaram is then that aspect of the servant of the Lord and taking care of things from the background has that. But the, you know, manifesting Vaikuntha and the material worlds, that Ananta's doing, the expansion of Balaram. So you have everything in Krishna, and it all has its particular little balance. So it'll be one nuance, a particular aspect. Right? And so it just has that, but in the expansion, that's the prominent thing that they do. Right? You know, like you see Krishna in Dwarka, he gets angry at, what's the guy with the bogus incarnation? Poundrika, yes. And so then he shows his anger. Right? But you just see it only in that point. And the rest of the time, he's not doing that. But, like Nrisingadev or Parasuram, that's basically what they do. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, then it's that full taste of just that one quality. Well, all those qualities are in Krishna, so everything's there. It just has this little subtlety. That's why it's so, that's why Krishna's so perfect, so balanced, so attractive, the most attractive, because anything that's attractive in any other form, in anything, because everybody likes something, you know, in the creation. That has its perfection and origin in Krishna. So that's why Krishna is the most attractive. What do you say? So you'll have that one avatar maybe, like in the, I think it's Sridhar Swami points out, either Sridhar or Ramanujacharya, that in the Tilak, then you're dealing Vasudeva's Keshava, Narayana, and Madhava. Then Sankarshan is Govinda, Vishnu, and Madhusudan. Right? Then Prajumna, Trivikram, Vamana, and Sridhar. And then Aniruddha is Hrishikesh, Padmanabha, and Damodar. Like that. So like this, you have these moods. Is that okay? Okay, so we'll end here. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Chaitanya Gaura Premanandi, Hari Hari Bhagavad, Hari Bhagavad, Hari Bhagavad.